Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday. And it is going to be a Monday where we are all over the map. We're going to call this Scatterbrain Monday. Why? Well, just because
we're all over the map. I guess I already explained that. Anyway, here's what's on tap for tonight. First, you know, it's Medal of... That's not normal, by the way, Chris. Don't say that. It's Medal of Honor Monday tonight. That's about an hour from now. And am I going to do history around it? Yep. Told you last week I was going to. So buckle up. About an hour from now, we're going to do some more history. We're going to talk about... Well, Trump put out a public statement today on abortion. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. We'll have a chat about that. In fact, we'll open up the show talking about that. We're going to talk about the separation between the elites and us, the cowards. You remember we've been talking lately about the cowards who are in positions to fight for us, but don't. That's something to discuss. China, getting rid of China. Can we get rid of China? Our intelligence agencies. So much and so much more than that coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And Amber Duke joins us about a half hour from now to talk about Paxlovid and COVID, and that rhymed and that was cool. Before we get to any of that, even the abortion talk or whatever else it may be, I want to do this. Someone wrote in an email and asked me not to read it, and I'm not going to read it because that was the request. And as you know, every email you write me, love, hate, death threats, even when you curse me out, tell me you're never listening again, whatever, they all stay private. Your name at least stays private, and the email itself will stay private if you tell me that's what you want. But the general gist of the email was it's somebody who's struggling right now. Now, this particular guy is struggling with drugs and alcohol, and he had previously cleaned up his life and then relapsed right back into all that stuff and drugs and alcohol, and now he's in a bad way. He's in a bad spot. I just want to say this to every single person, not just this guy, to every single person. I want to remind everybody that life comes with ups and downs. All of life. Doesn't matter how long you live. I'm 42. My entire life has been up and it's been down. And it's been up and it's been down. And you would be more accepting of your own flaws and valleys in your life if you understood that that situation applies to everyone. A lot of people getting way down, like too down, is in this era we live in now where everyone is connected online. You get to look at everyone's perfect life. Only you're the one with problems, you see. You're the only one who drinks too much when no one's looking. You're the only one who has too many fights with your husband. I don't know. Maybe it's time to divorce him. You're the only one who might be getting laid off at work. But you're the only one, right? Because you look around and none of your friends put that on Facebook. It's, oh my gosh, look how pretty she is. And look at his chiseled abs. They're with their 12 perfect children in Barbados. Their life is perfect. No, she's on pills. He's cheating with the secretary. One of the kids is already pregnant. All right. That's life. That doesn't mean they're bad or you're bad. Everybody has ups and downs. And when you're in a country, when you're in an era where we currently live, where things at the tippy top are really coming across, coming apart on us pretty good, when you're in that situation, there are going to be even more downs than there were previously. Just don't get too down on yourself, all right? And give yourself plenty of grace. And here's what people in this guy's situation will say whenever they hear me say stuff like this. Yeah, but this is my fault. Buddy, everybody has screwed up. Every single person. And everybody's been, most people, 99% of people's problems are their own fault. I tell you, it's 100% of my problems, 100% of the things I've screwed up in my life, they're my fault. Give yourself some grace. Start again tomorrow. All right? And if you screw that up too, turn back around and start again the next day. All right? All right. Just remember, keep your chin up out there. Look at this person. You want to laugh? This is one of our faithful listeners, apparently. Not everyone in the Air Force is a lesbian. And then he calls me a cuss word. And he says, beep you for being such a shallow piece of beep. So you're having a better day than that guy is. And by the way, I didn't say everyone in the Air Force is a lesbian. Don't put words in my mouth. I never once said that. Did I? I said everyone in the Air Force is LGBTQ. That's totally different. All right, shut up. Let's focus on some other things. Let's focus on one of the big stories of the day. One of the big stories of the day is Trump decided to take a stance, a public stance on abortion. He said he was going to take a public stance on abortion. Here's what Trump had to say earlier today.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state.
Okay. So where do I stand? Well, you know where I stand on being pro-life. That's not exactly a mystery to anyone who listens to this show. Where do I stand on what Trump said today? Everyone's been applauding it or screaming about it or somewhere else. Okay, well, first of all, first and foremost, Donald Trump has been a social moderate for most of his life. For most of his life, he's on camera, most of his life being a social moderate, especially on issues like abortion. It's not hard to find this video. We're talking a matter of a few years ago, an extreme social moderate. He moved to the right on a lot of those issues when he ran for president and has been pretty good on those issues when he was president. He was pretty good. We did get enough pro-life judges to overturn Roe versus Wade, so on and so forth. Okay, so that's the good. The bad. He's never going to be as pro-life as I am. I'm far to the right of probably you on this as well. I understand where I stand on being pro-life is not where the American people stand and probably not where you stand. I don't even believe in exceptions. And I know everyone's mad about that. And guess what? I don't give a crap if you're mad about that. I don't believe in even exceptions. Well, for rape and incest, no. If my car gets broken into by a gangbanger, I don't get to go home and shoot my neighbor because I'm mad about it. Killing the baby because something else awful happened is not a reasonable position. My position is the correct one, period. I realize you may not agree with that. You probably don't, and that's fine. But my position overall on that issue on abortion is simply this. I want to live in a country where it doesn't have to be banned at any level. It doesn't have to be banned at the federal level. It doesn't have to be banned at the state level, county level, city level. I want to live in a country where we don't have to address banning it because people don't want to do it. This issue, like so many other issues out there, like virtually every issue out there, is not a politician problem. I would argue if you spent the day today either applauding Trump on it or screaming at Trump about it, that perhaps you missed the mark. The mark is not whatever he thinks. I don't give a crap what he thinks or what his stance on it is. It's not my stance. It's not mine, and my stance isn't going to change. If the entire world stood against me and my stance, I still would not change. I would not alter. You're not going to get me to budge. You could kill me. I still would not budge. My stance is the correct one. It's a baby. Protect it, period. But overall, we as a nation, we have a people problem, not a politician problem. We believe it's a politician problem, or we want to think it's a politician problem, because if it's a politician problem, then that makes the solution easier, doesn't it? If our problem is Joe Biden, we're talking about the presidency, let's just make it about the presidency. If our problem is Joe Biden, it's Biden, and Biden sucks, and Biden this, and Biden that, and Biden, if he is the source of all of our problems, well, that's not so bad. Let's just work really hard, and we'll get Trump elected in November, and then all the problems are solved, right? We found the problem. It was Joe Biden. We got rid of Joe Biden, and then we replaced him with someone else. But if we accept that it's a people problem, that it's an us problem, not you specifically, but us as a people, as a whole, if we accept that it's a people problem, well, that's kind of a hard thing to accept. Why? Because that's a harder thing to fix. That's a longer fix. But we must fix it. It doesn't do us any good to win every election and rule over a people who want to carve up their babies like a Thanksgiving turkey. We still have to fix the people. So let's talk about that really briefly, and then we're going to move on, talk about grocery prices and Paxlovid and all kinds of other shows and things like that before we talk about those things. Janet Yellen is going to be featured quite a bit tonight on the show. Did some talking about China, and to put too fine a point on it, she's coming out now publicly saying, man, China really controls way too much here. That's not good. You know what else China's doing right now because of the world's financial situation? China's stockpiling gold by the ton. As much as they can hoover up, that's what China's doing right now. You need to get some precious metals in your hands. The people who know are collecting precious metals as fast as they can get them. Get a hold of Oxford Gold Group and let them mail you some. A sack of gold coins, a sack of silver coins. Just get yourself a sack of some kind. Get it in your retirement account as well. Call Oxford Gold Group. 833-995-GOLD. Protect yourself. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We got Amber Duke talking about Paxlovid and the lies the CDC told us about 10 minutes from now, Medal of Honor Monday, like 45 minutes from now. There's so much to get to tonight. Let's just finish up my thoughts on abortion.
Because Trump puts out that statement, I'm kind of middle of the road. Let's go back to the states. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. I don't really care. My position is not dependent on any politician, what their position is. As a country, we have to fix the people. And that fix takes a lot longer. And it's a lot more daunting than just changing out a politician. So we want to imagine the problems are a politician. It's just Joe Biden's fault. We'll just replace Biden. But the problem being the people is not something that should dishearten us. It should actually hearten us. And I don't know if that's even a word. Chris, is hearten a term? I know dishearten's a term. Can you be heartened? If you can be disheartened, you should be heartened. Well, whatever, Chris. I don't care. Anyway, here's what should hearten you. The culture war is up to you. It's not up to Donald Trump. It's not up to the RNC. It's not up to Congress. It's not up to me. It's not up to Fox News. It's not. The culture war is up to you. Fixing the people is up to you and up to me. I mean, what I'm trying to say is it's a personal life choice and a local life choice. if I want people to be as pro-life as I am, then I have to talk to the people in my life. And the people I have influence over, I need to discuss them. Well, here's a great example. When I get home tonight, it'll be dinner time. Wife will probably warm up a plate for me. The boys will probably already have eaten. And I'm going to sit down and the fam will be there and it'll be dinner time. And I have a million different things I can discuss and probably will discuss with the fam. How was school? Honey, how was your day? Yada, yada, yada. But today, because this issue is in the news, I have the opportunity to speak tonight to my sons about this issue, about life, conception, men, women, babies. I can do that, or I can talk about easy stuff. Now, I don't know. Hold on. I'm not being self-righteous. I don't know which one I'll choose. I might be burnt out, tired. Maybe I'll be gassed at the end of the day. Maybe, you know what, son? Tell me a good fart joke. I don't know which one I'll choose, but I do know that that's an opportunity. I'm sitting down with my children, my wife. That's an opportunity to make them more pro-life, to have an in-depth discussion over it. Will I take that opportunity? Or will I take the easy route out? Another opportunity I have tonight. You have tonight when I get off work. Is there a school board meeting in your area? When's the next school board election in your area? Jesse, we can't win elections because all these young women love abortion. Okay, I give that to you. Yes, that's true. It's very difficult for the GOP to win national elections or elections in blue states or purple states because young women love abortion. I know that. Okay. How many young women do you talk to? Now, I'm not telling you to go talk to a lot of young women in the way that Joe Biden does, but do you have influence over young people? Are you a school coach? Are you a coach of a sports team? Not saying you got to talk abortion with them. Do you ever have these discussions? You can discuss life in a nonpartisan way, babies, motherhood. Are you on a school board? Are you trying to get on a local school board? Are you involved in the curriculum in your child's school? Yes, I know we have a bunch of baby murdering young women in this country. I am very aware. I've seen all the numbers. I am aware. In fact, it's not even just single women on this issue. Married and single women in general, Republican and Democrat, love abortion. I know it's a problem. What are you doing to deal with it, to address it? We have a people problem, and that means the problem is more in depth than we want to acknowledge. It can't be fixed by voting out your congressman or your president or a new Senate or new this or that. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is you are the fighter in the culture war. Don't sit back and wait for Donald Trump to fight a culture war battle for you. Even if he is the ultimate culture warrior, he still can't take back this culture. You can. I can if I choose to get involved. Now, we have to temper our expectations. If you choose to start speaking about this issue or any issue, maybe it's illegal immigration, maybe it's something you're passionate about. If you choose to start speaking about to the young people in your life, getting involved in the school board, if you choose to start getting involved, don't think that you're just going to walk in the door and talk to 100 people who are in a cult. And in 5 minutes, they're all 100 are going to walk out and they're going to join your side. You're dealing with a people who are currently broken. It's going to take time to fix them, and many of them cannot be fixed. But if we never try, if we never engage, if normal people never get involved, well, then forget it. Just hand them the keys. It's already over. If we can't fix the people, we've lost. I say we can, but we have to do it ourselves. Nobody's coming to save us. Either we will choose to get more involved, start digging in culturally the way the communists did decades ago. That's how they took over this culture. Either we will replicate what they did or we will lose. Period. End of story. All right? But Jesse, I don't have enough energy at the end of the day. That's just because you haven't been taking your chalk, man. Take your female vitality stack, ladies. You'll be running down to the local school board meeting at the end of the day. Honey, I just made dinner. It's ready for you guys. I gotta go. I got a school board meeting. I love my female vitality stack. Or gentlemen, your male vitality stack. Jesse, between my job and the practice, I don't have time. That's because your T levels are low, gentlemen. Start taking natural herbal supplements. Watch your entire mind, your entire life change when all of a sudden your body gets the levels it needs. 20% increase in your testosterone in just 90 days. It's not like you got to hold out. Well, just 10 years and you'll be feeling better. 90 days. You'll feel like a different man. Chuck.com. Get a subscription on anything they have because you save a fortune. But CHOQ.com and use the code Jesse. Go. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. All right, enough. Speaking of big pharma, remember all the Paxlovid talk? Amber Duke joins us to talk about that. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Did Amber do that on purpose? Is it because I insulted modern country music last week? Did you tell her, Chris? Be honest. Did you? She said country and you gave her modern? This is on you, pal. Anyway, joining me now, my friend Amber Duke Washington, editor of The Spectator. We're going to set aside the modern country music for a moment, Amber, and focus more on something called Paxlovid. That name probably sounds familiar to a lot of people listening. For those who don't remember what it was, what is it?
Paxlovid was sort of touted as the miracle drug to reduce COVID symptoms by the medical establishment and the public health bureaucracy. And this was prescribed to, probably hundreds of thousands of Americans. Pfizer made billions of dollars selling doses of this drug. The federal government gave them $10 to $12 billion to subsidize it and support its manufacturing and development. And a study just came out last week determining that Paxlovid had no effect on reduction of symptoms of COVID-19 for both vaccinated and unvaccinated persons. So it's really just the latest lie from our public health establishment here in the United States about basically everything that they told us regarding COVID-19.
Amber, that's the part of this that I still have such a hard time digesting. And I was one of those people like you who was on this scam pretty early. It's the length and breadth of the lies. Amber, we were lied to about every single thing by every single one the entire step of the way. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Yeah, it does. I genuinely cannot think of a single thing that they told us that was even close to accurate. The only things that they could, somewhat claim were helpful were things that were made up completely arbitrarily. And in the meantime, what they did is they one, silenced dissent from people who had legitimate questions about the decisions that they were making in terms of lockdown policies and preferred treatment options for people who did catch COVID-19, and kicked them either out of the Trump administration or tried to remove their ability to even work at hospitals or at universities. And then they also rejected the study of potential therapeutic treatments that ended up being incredibly helpful for some people, unlike Paxlovid, with things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which I'm sure your listeners remember were sort of derided as horse dewormers and fish tank cleaners, when a lot of people had great success in reducing their symptoms or the severity of their symptoms when they took those treatments early on in their COVID-19 illnesses. And so just top to bottom, I think this is one of the greatest failures in public health in probably the history of the world. And now, by the way, we have this same public health bureaucracy warning us that we could see 10 times as deadly of a pandemic from this new bird flu outbreak that has one case in the United States, and it's someone who has the sniffles.
One case of bird flu, someone who has the sniffles. But yes, everyone should definitely panic. And don't forget to wear a mask, everyone. Make sure you wear a mask, if not two or three. That'll definitely protect you. All right, Amber, speaking with Amber Duke, of course, of The Spectator. Amber, speaking of disease, we may not have to worry about the bird flu, but apparently now we have to worry about measles and tuberculosis again. Are people not paying attention to this? If not, why not?
Oh, that's what's so incredible, right, is as they're warning us that we have these pandemics coming from bird flu, or previously it was monkeypox, even though we learned that that was, you know, spread exclusively between gay men who were behaving promiscuously and not using proper protection. Now we are not supposed to talk about the fact that there are these disease outbreaks in migrant camps, in migrant hotels. So they will constantly force the American people not to work, to wreck their social lives, to shut down churches. But we can't even close our southern border to people who are not getting properly processed, who aren't getting tested, who aren't required to get vaccinated, like so many millions of Americans were during COVID-19 by these experimental vaccines. We can't even do the bare minimum to protect our own borders from potential disease vectors. And instead, everyone was calling Trump bigoted for saying that migrants were potentially poisoning the country. And now, unfortunately, his statements are coming to fruition.
Amber, how much of this public health, which that very concept of that is ridiculous, but how much of our public health system is evil and how much of it is just flat out stupid? It's very difficult for me to look at how many lies they've told, how many lies they continue to tell, and see these people as anything other than nefarious, but I'm all game to be corrected.
I lean towards the nefarious part for two reasons. Number one is that Dr. Fauci admitted to lying to the American people in the midst of COVID-19, right? So he said in an interview that he had revised downward the percentage of Americans that either needed to be vaccinated or get COVID-19 and recover naturally and get natural immunity in order for the country to be considered to have basically reached that natural immunity level. He said the American people weren't ready yet to hear the real number. So repeatedly they have admitted to changing their guidelines based on what they thought the American people would accept, not based on what was scientifically supported. And then number two is there is a huge profit motivation involved in all of this. I mean, even just a couple of examples, right? Dr. Fauci was on the phone with a Chinese official from Evergrande, which is a, you know, giant Chinese corporation, about getting a multi-million dollar donation to Harvard Medical School right around the time that he was sending emails urging his colleagues to downplay the idea that COVID-19 could have been leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And then there's all of this revolving door situation involving public health officials going back and forth between big pharmaceutical companies, which again made billions of dollars in the development and manufacturing and implementing of this vaccine situation, and also on now Paxlovid and some of the other therapeutics that they pushed against cheaper alternatives like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin that didn't prove to even be effective. And this goes back, you know, well before COVID-19, right? We had the same situation with the opioid epidemic where the big pharmaceutical companies were giving kickbacks to doctors to prescribe these things after lying about their addictive nature. And so there's such a huge profit motivation involved in all of this that you can't really believe at this point that these people are just operating based on ignorance, because they do have that underlying nefarious goal of either making money or getting a job in the private sector after they leave the public health bureaucracy.
Amber, how does all this shake out with our corrupt bureaucracy in this country in the end? You obviously are well aware of the problems you write about. I'm sure you and I have talked about the problem many times. It's well beyond the CDC. It's all of them rotted to the bones, whether it's nefarious or whether it's stupidity. In the end, how do we fix that?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, it's difficult because with the current healthcare system, there really is this sort of interconnectedness between big pharma, the public health officials, the medical professional associations, which are the ones really pushing the idea that kids can change their gender, for example, and some of these other really awful things that aren't backed by science. And so you have to, I guess, attack them kind of piecemeal, one by one. I mean, the easiest thing that could happen would be if somebody who has the gumption to do it is reelected to the presidency and is willing to root out the bureaucracy the way that he's claimed to. I'm obviously referring to Trump. He's talked about using Schedule F to more easily fire federal employees. It's possible that could be used to help get rid of some of these people at places like the CDC that are responsible for a lot of this. But this is a public and private sector problem at this point. It's going to take a long time. And in the meantime, by the way, the American people who deserve to have a public health institution that they can trust to give them accurate information are now left on their own to their own devices to do their own research about really just basic medical questions because they don't have anybody that they can trust.
Yeah, that's just quite a place to be. But Amber, you are the best. Go read all their stuff. I appreciate it. Amber Duke, everybody. All right, let us dig into a couple different emails about a couple different subjects here before we drive the show directly off a bridge in about 15, 20 minutes, do a little history around our Medal of Honor Monday thing tonight. You know that's coming, right? Why? Because I like it. So buckle up for that. Hang on.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, only like 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. A little history surrounding it. Have to talk China, electric vehicles, gas price. I mean, there's a ton to get to. I do want to wrap this up with this. We just heard from Amber Duke on the Paxlovid stuff and whatnot. But one final thing on this abortion talk.
Remember something. Whatever issue you're right about, one, don't change your stance for anybody. If you're right, even if the whole world tells you you're wrong, you stay strong. That's one. And two, remember, the communist has no value system. Not one that you would recognize anyway as human. He does, but it's more of a demons or demonic, you know, value system. It's really evil and horrible. It's anti-human. You wouldn't even recognize it as a value system at all. Therefore, he can use your values against you because he doesn't have them. Deny him that. Never, ever, 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 ever let liberal Aunt Peggy use your values against you. Never let the Democrat demon in your life quote the Bible to you on behalf of their stances under any circumstances. I don't care what it is, whether it's illegals, no matter what it is. Don't ever let your enemy use your values against you.
I want to make sure, and I'm way past having kids. I want to make sure, yes, way past. I want to make sure that if you decide this is what you need to do, I'm going to get behind you. Because I don't know your life. It's nobody's business. It's you, your doctor, and God. And it's not mentioned in the Big Ten. I'm just going to say.
No.
In the Big Ten, it is not meant.
The commandments?
Yeah. God was pretty clear. Here's the stuff that'll make your life better on earth. Here's the thing. Don't lie, because you don't want people lying to you. Don't mess with somebody's wife, because you're going to be mad.
Not in the Big Ten. She's, of course, referencing the Ten Commandments. So you Christians and Jews who believe in the Old Testament, God was a big believer in abortion. Didn't you just hear Whoopi Goldberg? That's what she said. Don't ever let them use your values against you, all right? All right, let's do some emails before we get on to China, and the gas prices and the government-funded database for pro-lifers and the Rear Admiral, and there's so much more. Jesse, not all teachers are liberal people, and I like your show, but I hate when you categorize us like that. What's that old rule? Hey, Chris, what is it? If it doesn't apply to you, don't apply it to you. Don't look for reasons to get offended. Jesse, I was listening to your Hour 2 of Friday show. You were answering an email from a guy in the sports world who left his job due to DEI, masks, so on and so forth. I wonder why you don't advocate more for people on the right to act as subversives in these types of situations. It's a strategy the left uses all the time. Wouldn't it be wise to undermine woke nonsense from the inside? I love your pink flower show. His name is Randy. Okay, one, I do actually like it when people choose to be subversive. Stay right where you are in your dirtball left-wing company and be subversive. But here's why I don't tell people to do that. Here's why I don't advocate for it. That's me asking you to do something that I don't have to do. Here's what I mean. Because Premier lets me say whatever I want, as you can obviously tell, because I never had any vaccine mandates or any of that other stuff. I am not in a situation where I have to be subversive. I am not in a situation where I have to risk my job to say the things I think and say the things I want to say. I just get to say them. And not only does my employer let me, they want me to. I get encouraged to do so. Please go say what you want. I get told to. That's my situation. So I get to come home every single night now and see the wife and kids, and I never have to explain to them, oh man, they're making me say this and I don't like it. They're making me do this and I don't like it. I never have to have that conversation at home. I've had jobs like this before where I've had to go home and I hate my employer, and at the end of the day, I'm just down on everything, and I've seen how that just sucks the energy of your life dry. You're shriveled up with nothing left at the end of the day. I'm not in that situation now. So because I'm not in that situation, it's not right for me to tell you to stay in that situation. The same way I don't tell you to go, hey, protest in New York City. They're arresting Donald Trump. Everyone grab your signs and form a picket line and say no more. I've never told you that, did I? Ever. Why? Have fun. I'm not going. I don't do activist politics in communist-run hellholes. Because I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to. I'm going to stay in my red area with my politics. When I go to a blue area, I keep my head down and my mouth shut. So because I'm not going to risk going to federal prison, it's not right for me to risk you going to federal prison. I'm all for staying in your Fortune 500 company that's turned into communist Mao's China and being subversive and infiltrating there. I am all about it. It is wonderful. It is good. I'm all about it. But remember, there also has to be a plan if you're going to do that. Okay, you're staying in that company and that big company that you hate and that hates the country and they hate you and they hate your values, but you're going to stay and you're going to be subversive and you're going to be an infiltrator. What's the plan? You know, what's the plan to change things? Is there a plan? Are you staying to be subversive? Or are you staying just because it's easy and then calling it subversive? See what I mean? What are you doing? All right. Forget all this politics stuff. Before we get to Janet Yellen in China and whatnot, let's talk about Medal of Honor stuff, hero stuff, and some history around it. But first, I want to ask you, do you have $25? Do you have 25 bucks? If you do, I've got something for you. MyPillow, They're doing something I've never seen them do before. They're doing a $25 extravaganza sale. I love this. I hope they keep doing it because it's nice and easy and it's nice and cheap. What are they doing? They have so many products that you love and they're $25. You want some MyPillow sandals? $25. A two-pack of multi-use MyPillows? $25. Six-piece towel set? $25. It's too many for me to list, but for $25, you get something incredible from MyPillow. If you end up getting $75 worth of stuff, they give free shipping on the order. But take advantage of the $25 extravaganza sale. Shoot, I'd be Christmas shopping now if it was me. Those sandals aren't going to expire. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.